If only he'd kept his mouth shut, the Russian lawyer Alexei Navalny would not be rotting in solitary confinement. But he didn't. He spoke out against Putin, and it all went wrong for him. How did it all go so wrong for Jesus of Nazareth? From being impressive in his eloquence to mob violence with deadly intent. What did he say and why did he say it? To turn the situation, at first so positive, into a dangerous, ugly scene of murderous outrage. Well, it was that prophetic voice, wasn't it? That voice of inconvenient truth that sounded throughout the history of his people and generated the same response, the same anger, the same deadly purpose and outcome. Because no one wants to hear it. The prophets of Israel and their ringing challenge in the name of God's truth, God's way, his priorities. That challenge made to the powerful policymakers, the movers and the shakers. No one wants to hear it. Not then, not now, not there, not here. That manifesto and its presentation is an ever-present and significant feature of the way the Bible deals with the real world, the issues of the day, the people and their obligations, the nation and its delinquency, the unforgiving, unrelenting, often unpopular prophetic voice. The stories of the lives of the prophets are terrifying tales of confrontations and conflicts with kings and leaders who are driven by ambition and greed, tales of prophets having to flee for their lives because they presumed to, because they dared to tell the truth in the name of the Lord, to speak truth to power, speak out against the social crimes and misdemeanors of the powerful and the influential, and to challenge the way the nation was being corrupted and compromised by the disgraceful, godless lives of the leaders within both sacred and secular powers. And you only have to pay a brief visit to the prophet Jeremiah, dumped down a well, abandoned to die a horrible death. For what? For sounding out the brave, uncompromising and unpopular word of God. And you soon realise that no matter what integrity may underpin that word and what divine authority may lie within it, don't expect to win any awards or any popularity contests or to enjoy a quiet life, not if you choose or are chosen to embrace the call to be a prophet. So persecuted they the prophets who were before you, Jesus warns his band of disciples. A prophet is honoured everywhere but among his own people, warns the gospel writer. And we could go on to delineate the whole panoply of prophets, major and minor, shepherds and philosophers, men and women, in the grip of a word from the Lord that had to be spoken. Amos, Hosea, Micah, Deborah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, John the Baptist. People possessed of truth and possessed by truth. The proud tradition of the prophetic voice, insistent, uncompromising, uncomfortable, sheer bloody dangerous. In our soft-spoken, keep everyone happy and upset no one, offend no one world and church, perhaps there's a need to rediscover the thrust of the prophetic voice. And to resist all attempts to water down the passion of the gospel, that disruptive and disturbing, uncomfortable message that burns at the core of Christianity. We need to guard against any tendency to have it tamed, served on the vicarage lawn out of cups with roses while the bumblebees buzz and is there honey still for tea. No reader of the New Testament accounts will find much there to justify any trend towards a bland, vanilla, safe Christianity. Certainly not the fierce prophetic voice of the Gospels that sing from the very beginning in the Song of Mary, a song of revolution in which the mighty will be cast down from their thrones and the poor will be exalted. Are you listening, you mighty ones? Not where a stern-faced Christ overturns the tables of the dealers and merchants in the temple precinct, his passion for God white-hot with outrage against the merchandising of religion. And we don't need to stretch our imaginations too tightly to think what the prophetic voice of the Prince of Peace would make of our world and its moral dilemmas and accommodations, its sleazy deals and its dark doings. Economic injustices that pay poor workers 5 pence an hour to make our nice clothes. £25 billion being spent on weapons of mass destruction of our own, while our politicians presume to pontificate about the need for other nations to show nuclear restraint. We can't know exactly what he would say, of course, but we have a pretty good idea, and we can be sure that it wouldn't be bland and it wouldn't be vanilla. You see, sometimes we have to be told. We might not like it, we don't like it, but sometimes we need it, the truth. We need it, and we grow because of it. We are actually liberated, regardless of how much it hurts. If we need to be challenged, if we are to move forward, if we are to reach our full potential, to give as we should, to serve as sacrificially as we could, find ourselves out there on that second mile as we are called to be, then we shouldn't just look for ministers and leaders who want to be loved. But loving leaders and caring ministers and brave preachers compelled by the irritating, uneasy truths of the Word of God, who will dare us to believe, urge us to change our ways, summon us to embrace with a wholehearted passion the Lord who comes. Loving leaders and ministers who will challenge us with the jagged, inconvenient truths we might prefer not to hear, shake up our occasional complacencies, call us to work, to love, to bear witness, to make sacrifices. Call us to these things, because that's what Christians who mean it do.